God is taking this time here in Acts chapter 10 to really to teach his church something that they haven't quite gotten a hold of yet. And mostly the apostles is really who he's aiming at, and he's going to do it through the apostle Peter, because they still are of such a strong Jewish mindset that they're not understanding exactly what God wants. But God's going to show them that he is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if someone's a Jew or a Gentile, and that's really where the heart of the matter is. But that for us, we don't necessarily deal so much with Jew or Gentile, but maybe, you know, different differences amongst people in our society, whatever those differences may be, and that God doesn't care where someone's at, what their station in life is. He does not care. He cares about souls. Souls are what matter. Souls are what is important. So someone's station in life does not matter, and God is revealing that to the apostles here. And by the way, you know, Peter's, you know, probably the number one apostle. I don't know that they're ranked or anything, but he's always listed first, and he's the preeminent one. He's most often the preeminent one. And yet, even this preacher had to be corrected by God. Okay, so to point that out, that no preacher is perfect. No preacher gets everything right. They make mistakes. They do things wrong. Even while they are serving God and doing the will of God, they make mistakes. Did you get that? Even while serving God and doing the will of God, preachers make mistakes and do wrong. Okay, now that should be encouraging for all of us, because he's a preacher, but he's a sinner just like the rest of us. So that means even while we're serving God and even while we can be in the will of God, we can still do wrong. And God, thankfully, will come and correct us. Our duty is to be listening for the correction and to take heed to the correction. But God is no respecter of persons. And that's what I want us to understand. So we're here in Acts chapter 10, and we're only going to read, we'll read 8 verses, but we're only going to focus on 3 of them for now. So it says in Acts 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Father, we come before you, Lord, ask you to help us to open our eyes. Teach us, Lord, help us to see the truths that are here and to really understand that you are no respecter of persons. God, please just help us with that. And I just thank you for the truths you put here for us for all time, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, there's one thing I've noticed as I've been in church, and, you know, the statements made that, and I don't think it's always true, but a lot of times I think it can be true, and that there's always some truth in criticism. It's not always true, but many times it can be true. And there are some real criticisms that come to Christianity or Christendom, if you want to call it that, that a lot of Christians are judgmental. How many of us have ever heard that? How many of us have ever seen that? How many of us have ever been that? Right? That's all of us. You know, we're like, yeah, to all of those things, right? So this is something then that applies really to all of us, is that we need to take heed of this. We need to recognize that, look, God cares about souls. If we can get that God cares about souls, that's what matters to him. When we can look down on somebody because of a sin in their life, we better be careful. You better start checking yourself, because you've got a problem. If you're looking down on somebody because of a sin in their life, you better watch yourself, because you're about to fall. Yeah, because guess what? I can promise you, while you serve God, there's sin in your life. Can we all say amen to that? Right? So then what? How come your sin's okay and theirs isn't? So why is it like that? Well, why can we think that way? Why do we act that way? And this is what God's showing us, is that God is no respecter of persons. Okay, he doesn't like that type of attitude. And this is the attitude that was present at this time in his churches especially, you know, the Jerusalem church, that specific church, and really more we could say with the Jewish Christians, that was the attitude that was present. And, you know, I don't like to make excuses for people, but at the same time, we can't fault them so much because this is how they grew up in Judaism. This is what they were being taught within Judaism. And there is that truth. So this is where the balance gets hard for us, is to try and balance these things. The Bible does teach separation. It does, be ye holy, for I am holy. I mean, when they went into the promised land, God said, we read about it a couple weeks back, but hey, don't associate with these people. Why? Because if you do, they're going to pull you into their idolatry. That's why you don't. So there's that balance, and I get it. It's not always easy. It's not. I've struggled with it. It's not always easy. But we still have to love people and care for people and be kind to people while not maybe being a close friend with somebody. But with all of that, we have to not look down on them and think that we're better than them because we don't sin like them. Because for most of us in here, the sins we struggle with are in here and in here. But what I've seen, what I've witnessed, been a part of even, sadly, within Christendom, within Christianity, is that the people whose sins you can see on the outside can be looked down on. And how bad and dangerous that is for us. So what's the difference between their sin we can see on the outside and my sin you can't see? Because it's in here, it's something in here that maybe no one knows about. Maybe at times you might see glimpses of it, but for the most part, the internal sins you deal with, man, most people don't know about them, don't know what's going on within you, what you're struggling with. You know, maybe you're an angry person and you're you know, mad all the time or something. I guess you can kind of see that, but you can even hide that. I mean, maybe you're a kleptomaniac or something. I don't know what it is, but it's something that nobody really sees. It's all internal. Maybe you covet. Maybe it's lusting. I don't know what it is, but people can't see it. And so we think that because we have the outside washed up, hey, isn't this reminding us of somebody, this type of attitude? Does this remind us of somebody in the Bible that is mentioned? That because the outside looks good, but the people with the outside cleaned up think they're better than the people with the outside sins? Does that remind us of anybody in the Bible? Yeah, the Pharisees. This is who Jesus denounced his woes upon. Okay? These were the people that were supposed to have the truth and be teaching the truth, right? Can we not say that's us, right? Is that not us? We should be people with the truth. We have the truth, right? And we should be teaching the truth, right? So then we have to watch ourselves that we don't become like the Pharisees, because I think the Bible shows us this is the natural tendency of mankind. This is our natural tendency, is to go that way. And even kids, you could see it even with kids. Those that don't fit in are looked down upon, right? Even I'm not talking religion or anything anymore, just those that don't fit in are looked down upon. Even in school or whatever it may be. This is our natural tendency, is to be like this. So knowing this is a thing, then we need to understand that God is not a respecter of persons. God starts off chapter 10 with, hey, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He's a Gentile. Worse than that, he's a Roman soldier. It gets even worse, right? Because those are the oppressors of the Jews. And God's showing them. And Jesus did it, did he not? Did he not heal the centurion's servant? Yeah, he did. Did he not go to the woman at the well in Samaria? Yes, he did. He was already demonstrating these things, showing these things. And by the way, even in the Old Testament, he made a means for the Gentile world to come into salvation. Even then, God's always wanted people saved. He's always cared about souls. See, he doesn't get his perspective messed up. We do. We do. And what tends to happen is we're gonna almost cherry pick verses and say, well, look, I'm standing on this. Here's where I'm at. This is where I'm standing. Yeah, but you ignored like five other things to take that one stand. That one stand is right. But you missed this, 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 and this. And that's what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, hey, you tithe of mint and anise and cumin. But you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy. You've left these things off. Those are more weighty. They hold more weight. And he's trying to teach us the same thing as we look at people. Like, stop looking at people and start looking at souls. And you have to consciously tell yourself to do that. Because man looketh on the outward appearance. Right? That's all we can look at. So that's what we can do. Only God sees the heart. So we have to tell ourselves, wait, I got to see things like God then, right? That's my favorite definition of wisdom. My favorite definition of wisdom is to see things how God sees them. I believe that's what wisdom is to see things and view things how God does. And so we have to start looking at people like that as souls, not, you know, especially as we go into some of these neighborhoods, man, these people are rich. They don't want to hear from us. How do you know? How do you know? Because I've run into a lot of poor people that don't want to hear from us either. You know, that's just people. Okay, people just don't want the gospel. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's what it comes down to. So we have to start seeing people as souls and just be messengers and deliver that message to them. Because God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter a person's station in life. God just cares about them, just like God cared about you and cares about you. It's not like it was past tense and that's it. He cares about you. He loves you. And we know, and I thank God for these verses like Romans 5:8. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows everything you are. He knows the wicked devil that you are, and yet he died for you and for me. And if he can care for us and accept us like that, why can't we not do that to other people? Why can we not be that to other people? You know, we were just back there praying, and we're praying through the list of salvations. And man, it hit me when Kiko prayed for even some family. He said, I'm going to paraphrase kind of what he said, but he was praying for even some of that family that's saved, Lord, but that doesn't believe things right. And it wasn't in any pride that he was saying that doesn't believe things right. But you know, like, hey, man, we know what we believe from the Bible. And if you don't believe that, you're believing wrong. It's okay to say that. He said, Lord, pray that they would come around. Pray that they would come around, because we've got family like that. I think we probably all do have family that's saved, and I believe they're saved, but maybe they don't believe everything right. Then, man, let's have mercy with them too. And let's, as the opportunity comes, try and help them instead of just like, oh, I don't want to get in a debate with you. Well, come in with the right attitude to not get in a fight with them, but maybe like, here, let's open the scriptures and see what the Bible says. Let's be willing to do that. Like, we need mercy with people, because isn't that how God is with us? Like, doesn't he continually help us through our whole walk to teach us? Because does anybody here think they have everything right now? No. Okay, so no one thinks that, right? So then that means I know there's things I believe that aren't right. So then hopefully God's going to continually teach me and help me get them right? I hope that's our attitude, is that God will keep teaching me and keep helping me to get things right. We want him to. Do you know how he does that? Yes, it can be through our Bible reading. Yes, it can be through our prayer as well and our Bible study. But a lot of times he's going to use people to help us. A lot of times it's going to be your pastor. But it could be someone else teaching you something. And you're like, ah, God convicts you and he shows you. Well, then that's what we need to be to people. That maybe they're saved, but they don't believe everything right. And it's not that we got to beat them over the head with it so they get it, but just know if they want to learn, I'll teach them. If they don't, that's fine. But we have to have the right attitude in it. We have to walk into it with kindness, with charity in our hearts, with love in our hearts, not like I'm going to be right, I'm right and you're wrong. That's not right. That's not how we should. See, God is no respecter of persons. If he was a respecter of persons, then man, we'd be out of luck. We would be out of luck. Because you know better than anybody who you are and what you are. And I'm like, well, I look at myself, I'm like, I'm the last one that deserves anything from God. And I bet that's how you feel too. You're like, I'm the last one that deserves anything from God. But thank God he's not like that. Because he's no respecter of persons. He loves you. He cares about you. And he wants to help you. And that's what we need to be to people. Now, God obviously has a heart to reach the lost, but there's a certain type of people he'll give special attention to. You think, well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, it'll make sense once I get to it. But it's true. There is a certain type of people he gives special attention to. You're like, hold on, I thought you just spent like 15, 20 minutes talking about he's no respecter of persons. Now what are you saying? There's certain people he gives special attention to? Yes, that's what I'm saying. That'll make sense here in just a bit. You know, he brings circumstances of every sort into people's lives that point them to him. But here it is now. It's those that respond to him and follow the light he's showing them are the ones that will receive the special attention. Now, he's constantly bringing things into people's lives to draw them to him. He's constantly doing that. But so he's drawing all of us. We love him because he first loved us, okay? He's reaching out to us, to everyone in this whole world, okay, and trying to bring them to him. He shows everyone in this world the light of creation, okay, the fact that he exists through creation. And then other things as well, outside circumstance, everyone's different. But the ones he gives special attention to are the ones that follow what he's showing them. Those are the ones he gives special attention to. Cornelius is a perfect example of that. We just read that. He's a lost man. He's doing some things right. And God comes to him and starts bringing him. Okay? God knows where every person's at. We could look even at the Apostle Paul when he was Saul. And you're like, well, he was going to kill Christians then. Yeah, he was. But guess what? God knew what work he was doing in his heart. God knew what was happening in Saul's heart. He was fighting it because he knew that it was right. He knew that what was being said, what was being preached was correct, was the right thing. And it was drawing him. And God said, "This, I can reach him right here." Now, again, God's omniscience comes into this, that he knows everything. And he knows what's going on within somebody. And those are the ones he gives that special attention to. Those are the people, those are the souls that we're looking for as we share the gospel. Okay, those that are following what he's showing them, that are following the light that he's giving them. And the ones that aren't quite there yet, God may use our preaching of the gospel to bring them closer. See, that's how he works. God says, "My word shall not return unto me void." His word doesn't come back void. So even when we think, man, that was a waste, I feel like nothing happened. No, that's not how it works. God's still working in people's lives. Remember the parable of the sower? He said, hey, the seed went out. And sometimes the devil shows up and snatches that seed away, like the seed that went by the wayside. Sometimes the devil shows up and does that, but other gets into that ground. It starts to break up that fallow ground, that hard ground, so that eventually when that seed's planted, it hits good ground, good soil. And it's talking about the condition of the heart. See, there's no telling what it can do when you talk to somebody and maybe they do get a little upset with you or something. Or maybe it seems like they're just indifferent, but we don't know what that's doing in here. This is why our duty is simply to be faithful. That's why God said when he commends the parable of the talents, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is all your responsibility is to be faithful. What does God ask of you? Well, then be faithful at it. The things he expects of you, he asks of you, just be faithful doing that. The results are not up to you or me. Like if this church never grows from right here, if we never grow, if we are faithful, that's all God expects of us. That's all he expects of us is simply to be faithful. Now, I don't believe we won't grow if we're faithful to him, but it might not be the at the speed or the level that we deem necessary, but it's up to God. That's why. God gives the increase. So in all of this, we need to understand that God is no respecter of persons, and Cornelius is the man he uses to show this to the Jewish Christians. God uses Cornelius to show Peter that the devout and sincere of heart are those that are guided to God. So with God's continual drawing of all to him, he guides those that are sincere in seeking him. It starts off with, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man. A person's station in life is not important to whether or not God will save them. It doesn't matter. That's why so many have said before that you can't take the gospel to the wrong person. You can't. Why? Because everyone needs it. Everyone needs the gospel. There's not a soul alive that doesn't need it. Every person needs the gospel. So whether you might be intimidated by their position in this world, or whether you think nothing of them, or that whatever, I hope we don't think like that, but you understand what I'm saying. Maybe they don't seem like they have any influence in this world or not. It doesn't matter, because they're all important to God. We're all important to God. Not one is not better than the other. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Okay, it doesn't matter who you are. If you are going to get to the Father, it's going to happen the same way. You have to come through Jesus Christ. And that's only going to happen with humility. So no matter who you are, you have to come to Him in humility. God does not care. He's no respecter of persons. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Okay, God will save anybody. Titus 3:4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. How? Through Jesus Christ. Toward man, toward all mankind. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. The kindness and love. Kindness. Think about that. Kindness. Kindness. Not harshness. Kindness. Kindness. This is the gospel message we should bring. Yes, that hell is going to be your eternal abode if you don't get saved. But kindness, not harshness. Love. You know, when I think of kindness, I think of like my mother's hands when I was a child and she'd comfort me. That's what I think of. It's kindness. You know, it's not harsh. It's not hard. You know, your father's hands, maybe not for everybody, but at least for me, my father's hands were rough and hard and strong. And I didn't necessarily think of kindness there. Not that they weren't times he was kind, but you understand what I'm saying. A father's hands versus a mother's hands, there's a big difference. Okay, so this is like, the gospel should be kindness. Like if you get to the point where you're maybe talking with your family and you guys are like yelling at each other, maybe we've left the kindness part. And hey, I've been there, right? I mean, I like to debate, and there's nothing even wrong with some of that to an extent, but when our attitude's turning sour, that's what I'm talking about. Like there's nothing wrong with like lively, if that's your personality, just be who you are. But when you notice that now I'm just getting mad and I don't care what they say and I'm just trying to prove my point, okay, that's when we're leaving that kindness and love of God, all right? Because there is, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. And contend does mean to fight and battle. And there's no doubt that that has to happen, that that needs to take place. But we have to check our attitude in it. That's what we need to watch for. Notice the text says in verse 1 that there was a certain man. It says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Think about this. God's eye is on all his creation. God knew who this man was. He's like, there's a certain man. He knew all about Cornelius, just like he knew all about you and somebody else, whoever it may be. But God is specific. He knows. Now, those that may think that certain people are outside of God's purview are the exact ones he's seeking. Because I'm telling you, all the Jews, the Jewish Christians at this time, weren't trying to reach the Gentiles. This was not on their mind. This is why God had to do these things. It says he gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, and it was to open the gospel to the Jews, to the Samaritans, and to the Gentiles. And this is what we see happening. It's being opened to the Gentiles here in Acts chapter 10. Okay, this is what's taking place. This is what's going on. We're looking at this happen. This is who he's seeking, because he's no respecter of persons. It's not because you're like, well, I was born in a Christian home, or I was born in a preacher's home. Well, if you're born in a drunkard's home, he's seeking you as much as he is the one born in the preacher's home. Okay, if you're an orphan, he's seeking you as much as he is the one with two parents. I mean, God's no respecter of persons. This is what he's trying to get across. He loves everyone. Just sometimes it's easier to see it when you're in a home with two parents and you're loved and taken care of, versus when maybe you're in an abusive home and God knows what happens to somebody and they go through all these things. It's a little bit harder to see that the love of God is there, but guess what it is? And he's still seeking that person. He still loves that person just as much as the other. God is no respecter of persons, and each are equally deserving of salvation, which really none of us are, but thank God for his love. Because if we get what we deserve, it's going to be the lake of fire. None of us deserve salvation. But guess what? God loved the world so much that he paid the penalty for us. So it's available to everyone. No matter who you are, no matter what your station, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done. Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. If he can save the chief, he can save anybody else. Right? He absolutely can. There's no sin beyond God's reach. No sin beyond God's reach that he hasn't paid for. He paid for all sins. All I think means all. Right? Yeah, he paid for all of them. All the sins in the whole world he paid for. Amen. I hit on some of this, but I'm going to stop right here and we'll continue with this next week. This is just part one. I was thinking there was going to be three parts, but you know me, so we'll continue. This is going to be part B of part one. Can we do that next week? Part B of part one. All right. But again, I just want to get across that God is no respecter of persons. And we need to keep that mentality with us, because we're all prone to forget it, to not think that way. But God cares about souls. Souls. That's what he cares about. You know, we look at abortion, and those are souls. All those babies, he loves them. He cares for them. But he cares for the mother and the father that went through with the abortion too. And the doctor that performed it. The nurse that helped, the secretary that took all the information and took the payment, everyone that was a part of it, he cares for. Hey, those in office, in public office that voted for it, he cares about them. Those that are out on the streets screaming for a woman's right to murder her baby, he cares about them. The transgender, it's a man that wants to go into a woman's bathroom. God cares about them. There's not a soul alive he doesn't care about. The communists that you know, want to destroy America and China or whatever, he cares about them. The Muslims that hate America and call it the great Satan, he cares about them. Hey, the lost Baptist, he cares about them. Your lost Catholic family, he cares about them. The lost atheist, the one that denies God even exists, cares about them. He died for them. He's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who a person is. It doesn't matter what they've done. He loves them and cares for them. And we need to understand that. We need to grasp that. As we are to be light in this world and are to be his representatives and are to be his ambassadors. And sadly, I've seen it in so many churches where people are looked down upon. Somebody comes in that doesn't fit in with the mold, and it's like a feigned just hello to the person, and then you can tell that the people in the church don't even like them and don't want them there. And I can't stand that. I can't stand to see that in a church. And God willing, that's never the case here. No matter who a person is, what a person is, as long as they're not disturbing the service, they can come and be here. They can come be a part of it. You know, we can have 50 gay people could come in here and be a part of this service. I'd be rejoicing, as long as they're not trying to disturb the service and like speak over me as I'm preaching or something. Please be here. You're going to hear the gospel. Please, I want you here. I want you here. Hey, if 50 murderers walk in, as long as they're not armed, right? Okay, no. But seriously, if they come in, like, we want them here, right? They need the gospel. They need the gospel. And that's just the heart we need to have, is for souls like the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you.